Them Podcast with Landon McCool.
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Hello, welcome back to another episode of the How About Them Podcast. I am your host, Landon McCool. We are 2 weeks away, guys. We are really, really close to Oxnard training camp. I am headed out there. I don't really know how many days I'm going to be out there. I guess it all depends on how certain things kind of play out. But I will definitely be out there for multiple days, so I will be sure to pass along any nuggets I have, obviously here on the podcast, but also on Twitter. And I am excited. I'm excited for the Cowboys to get this thing started, but I'm also excited to get back out to Oxnard again. And it really is just an enjoyable experience, getting to go out there and hang out, and you know, you get an opportunity to kind of see them up close and, you know, see just what kind of giant men they are. Jeez, they're ridiculous. We got a good show today. Today we're going to talk about the pass rush production on this team, and we're gonna use a little bit of Pro Football Focus information to kind of put some context into what kind of hole the Cowboys are trying to dig themselves out of pass rush wise, in order to kind of even just get to a level of respectability on an individual basis. Now, I mean, obviously, I think there's, you know, you can look at the stats on that kind of thing in a bunch of different ways and form your own opinion about it. If you want to look at team sacks, if you want to look at team defense, if you don't even want to look at sacks or pass rush, if you want to just look at top five, them being top five in scoring and say, hey, that's enough for me, then, I mean, that's certainly your prerogative. But I really do think that if this team wants to take the next step, they need to get more production out of their pass rush. And I think that needs to happen in more than one place, more than just, you know, one guy coming in here and getting a bunch of sacks. So we'll look into that a little bit later. But first, we're going to get started as we always do. Well, not as we always do. I say that, but you know what? We don't always start with Check With Mees, but today we are starting with Check With Mees.
180! 180! Kill, kill, kill!
Right kind of guys. So last week's pod was pre-recorded because I took the old family on the vacation for the holiday, just like good dads are supposed to do, right, folks? And clearly, I really enjoyed myself. I was able to get away from all the nonsense. And clearly nonsense showed up because I get back and learn of the fiasco of Damian Lewis getting into an argument over a parking spot and acting like a complete fool. You know, there are obviously several things to unpack about this whole situation. I mean, we could talk about the loss of the player, which is probably inevitable at this point. Even if the charges get dropped, I can't imagine him not getting suspended at least for several games for brandishing a weapon. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if that's not even in dispute, then I think that at the very minimum, he's probably going to get some kind of punishment. I think we could talk about what his position on the team was and what how to fill that. He was the first team Sam linebacker and also played a variety of other roles in nickel packages and was, you know, expected, you know, was a special teams player and was expected to kind of make a leap this year. And we could talk about how we put these young kids in a kind of terrible position by, you know, paying them a lot of money to be aggressive, you know, machismo tough guys on the field, while also making them targets off the field for people that want to come at them and steal stuff from them. And then also, you know, expecting them to be able to handle situations like this where, you know, it's a road rage situation and this guy's a 25-year-old kid who's, you know, pumped full of testosterone. I mean, there are a lot of different ways to look at this whole situation. But unfortunately, it really feels like, once again, what I need to address here is the kind of rash of willful ignorance surrounding the phenomenon of Jason Garrett's right kind of guy. You know, it feels like every time something happens with the Cowboys. And it's gotten to a ridiculous level too. Like, this is a less ridiculous example of why right kind of guy comes up. Just because we've had, like, you know, the whole situation with David Irving. David Irving got a supplement that changed legality from one season to the other. Didn't inform the team. Got bad advice from a terrible agent, from what it sounds like. And people were questioning Jason Garrett's right kind of guy situation. Now, I mean, again, it's not surprising that clearly that's a situation where the person, and I would assume that a person like this would habitually not get the full story like they did in that situation. But going back to Damian Lewis's situation, this is exactly the kind of misinterpretation of right kind of guy that I think needs addressing. Because I really don't want to spend a ton of time here, because I want to talk about real football stuff. But I have to. I feel like I have to, because frankly, it's a tired talking point for lazy media members. But I want to make sure that there's a continued pushback here in some form. And I think the issue, you know, is at its root about the wording of the whole thing. I mean, the right and right kind of guy to me means correct more than righteous in this context. The right kind of guy to maximize his football gift, someone who loves football and is dedicated to getting better each day. I don't think that having a road rage incident because you're pissed off and you acted poorly because someone was standing in a parking spot you wanted means you don't love football or aren't dedicated to getting better each day. You just made a poor decision. Right kind of guy is about someone who's a good teammate, is passionate about the game of football. I don't think that any of what we've heard about this guy tells you that those things aren't true. I think that he made a mistake. You know, and at the end of the day, they're still looking at and evaluating football players and young men who, like other young men their age, make mistakes. The difference between them, these young NFL players, and other young men their age is that they have to make their mistakes in the spotlight while constantly being set up for failure by friends and foe alike. It's hard enough to predict how someone is going to react to that kind of off-field pressure. And then you also add in the pressure of being an NFL football player on the field. So, you know, all you can do is, as a, you know, front office member or as a coach or as someone who's trying to, you know, figure out a player that you're bringing into your team, all you can do is evaluate their past and try to lean on the guys that have football character and hope that football character drives them to be a safe investment for the team. You know, safe investment meaning a guy who's going to be eligible to play every week and also is going to put in the time to get better as a football player to, you know, grow your investment. You know, I think we've all probably experienced extreme road rage in driving or parking before. But clearly, the way he handled the situation is a personal character flaw. He's a young man who made a mistake. This isn't some failure to lead by a coach or a misevaluation in the process. It was a young man making a terrible mistake. This chorus of those suggesting that this is a mark against Jason's philosophy, all, by the way, while having an incomplete view of the facts, is just more clickbait attempts rather than thoughtful evaluation. All right, enough of that nonsense. Let's talk football, shall we? If you've been following me for a while, whether you're on Twitter or podcasts or however, you know that I have a very tenuous kind of touch-and-go relationship with Pro Football Focus. I find them to be incredibly useful in certain areas, but I'm also extremely wary of other aspects of their products. My rule of thumb that I prefer to stick to is I like their products where evaluation or opinion plays the smallest role. The grades, etc., like that's not for me. But well-sorted and categorized observable data is something that they strive at. They have a large base of people watching a whole bunch of games, and they check off, you know, whether it's formation, snap counts, those kind of things are invaluable information, and they do that very well. And I also enjoy something like their pass rush production metric, because it's based on solid numbers that they simply just weighted to give hurries and hits 75% of the value of sacks. So basically these numbers add up all the hurries, hits, and sacks, and then, like I mentioned, weight the hurry and hits 75% of the sack value, and then come up with a number by dividing it by 100, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But it's a pretty straightforward formula that's easy to look up, and it uses data that's kind of universally accepted and not opinion-based. So, and again, that to me is the key. Observable data, recreatable data. I don't know who is giving me evaluation. I don't know who's giving me opinion on the grade stuff. I don't know how you grade all these plays without knowing the plays being called in the huddle for an offensive player, for an offensive lineman, about knowing the, you know, particular coaching points that are involved at each position. But like I said, I prefer observable data, simplified. That's stuff I can trust from PFF for sure. So what I got these numbers, and they're broken down by interior and edge defender. And again, the it's called PRP, pass rush production. And you know, the players who played both inside and out, like a David Irving, their numbers are broken out by each grouping. So it's not you have his edge numbers and you have his interior numbers broken out with the larger part of the group. And when you look at this, especially for the Cowboys, three things immediately stand out. One, David Irving is without a doubt our best per snap pass rusher. And he is clearly successful when being used both inside and outside. And probably should be continuing to be used that way. His, you know, he was the second best rated edge rusher and the number one rated interior rusher on this team. And actually, just to kind of give you context, he was the number 10th overall rated interior pass rusher in the league on a PRP basis. So, you know, I think you look at, and obviously this is all the divided. I mean, David Irving had, if you look at that list of top 10 interior pass rushers, David Irving has the fewest snaps at interior pass rusher, at interior defensive line, because he's rotating. He's, you know, first of all, he's not a full-time player, and he's also playing inside and outside. So if you look at that list, I mean, you know, a guy like Aaron Donald, who's number one on the list, obviously, has something like 500 pass rushing snaps, whereas David Irving has something like 300 pass rushing snaps. Now, obviously, I mean, that's just coincidence. I mean, because Aaron Donald is very good. So at 500 snaps, he's still able to maintain a high level of pass rush production. And David Irving is, you know, qualifying, but not, you know, exactly putting a whole bunch of snaps out there. So obviously I think he needs to get more snaps, especially if he's able to continue that pace and that production. And I think he needs to be moved around, continue to be moved around as well. The second thing that stuck out was Tyrone Crawford isn't finishing on the outside, but he is at least getting hurries out there. And he had almost 30 hurries, which gave him the slight edge over Irving as the number one edge player for Dallas with the highest PRP. And that was definitely, you know, surprise. I mean, I guess when you look back at it, Tyrone Crawford also got, I think, the most snaps of anyone at defensive end. And the fact that he was able to continue that pace, keep that pace versus the rest of the guys that were playing edge it's tough to know. Is that speaking well for Tyrone Crawford or speaking poorly for the entire unit? Probably the latter, because Tyrone Crawford's number wasn't amazing. He was, but it was solid, ish, So, the reason I think it probably is the latter is because of the third thing that immediately stood out when looking at these numbers, is that not one of the Dallas edge players was able to crack an 8.0 in PRP. And just, I know that probably doesn't mean anything to anybody that doesn't know PRP, but so to give you some context, Seattle had four players with an 8.5 or above at the edge position. So Dallas doesn't have a single player over 8.0, and Seattle has four players with 8.5 or above. In Seattle, to be fair, Seattle has a top three pass rush unit. But the point is just to show you how far off Dallas is from having a good pass rush. The production doesn't just need to improve at the top. It's not that we just need a 10 sack pass rusher, though I think obviously that would help. The production needs to improve across the board. And Dallas has clearly employed two methods for attacking this breadth and depth problem, and an improvement and an additions. And of the two, I think Dallas is clearly, I think it's safe to say, banking more on the improvement side. Starting with additions, though, Tapper and Charlton are probably the two big pass rush additions. They're basically unknown quantities with some amount of pedigree. And if you look at Charlton being a first-round pick and Tapper having an intriguing athletic skill set, they are, basically, complete add-ons. You have really no idea where they're coming from, what they're being in. So they're being injected into this lineup almost from the outside. Tapper is as an exciting unopened present from last year. Is an exciting unopened present from last year that might have unleashed more of his insane athleticism. He came into the league as a rookie somewhere in like the 270 area as a defensive end. And apparently has dropped down to the 255 space with hopes of being a lot more explosive. But even with that 270 pounds, he ran like a 4.65 or 4.6. He ran a crazy 40. He's an incredible athlete, even with that weight on. So maybe without it, who knows where he's at. So that's going to be interesting to see. And then obviously Taco Charlton as a rookie, you don't really know what you're going to get. Obviously traditionally, on the larger scale, people like Joey Ikes have, in their fantastic work, have shown you that traditionally edge players, pass rushers in their first season don't really produce a ton. But if he was able to come in and be another guy who could get you five or six sacks, that would be great. That would just have another one, as long as someone else is taking that rung above him and able to get 8 and 9 sacks, and someone above him getting 10 or 12 sacks, So those two guys are basically, unknown additions added to it. You could also mention DeMontre Moore here, but I think he actually falls into this other group for improvement, because otherwise, if he doesn't improve on where he has been playing in previous stops, I'm not sure he even makes the team. So I consider him an improvement guy, because you kind of know what he is, but you're banking on the idea that he's going to get in here and get better, because he's still young and you have great teachers at the position. So Lawrence Irving and Mayoa are the other guys who Dallas is really hoping will show improvement from last year. And that whether it's because of experience in the cases of Irving and Mayoa, or recovery from injury for Lawrence, those guys need to take a step forward in order for this team to really improve their pass rush production. And ultimately, one or two of these guys needs to be markedly better than their 2016 equivalent. And the people in the third and fourth spots of the rotation will need to produce more as well. This ultimately goes for the inside guys, too. People like Malik Collins need to produce more, obviously, but David Irving needs to continue to produce from the inside as well. And guys like Cedric Thornton and even Stephen Paya need to put some extra sacks up on the board versus their equivalents from last season. There's no other way to slice it than to say that the Rushmen have a lot of work cut out for them this training camp if they want to get this team in a position that's anywhere close to where it needs to be from a pass rush standpoint to get to that next level. I think we've made arguments and debates about needing that top guy, needing that war daddy. And you know, the war daddy quote came from Jerry. That's what the team's been telling us for sure, that they need that guy. And that all is very good and true, but I think what also gets lost is that not only do you need that guy, you need someone to step up as the guy, but you also really need the guys that are just a little bit further down the rung to also have market improvements if you're looking for a pass rush unit to move from bad to respectable. That's it for me this week, guys. Make sure that you're checking out FanRagSports.com throughout the week for information about training camps, the Cowboys and otherwise. Also, any kinds of transactions, anything that's happening NFL-wise. Hopefully, we'll hear something about either Damian Lewis or Ezekiel Elliott before training camp and know a little bit more. I'm hoping that they're going to close Ezekiel Elliott's case sooner than later, even though they've had it open forever. So, guys, make sure that you follow me on Twitter, @McCoolBTB, until next week, happy trails.